Praise God. Praise the Lord. Welcome all to the house of the Lord. Welcome to the house of God. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center. We are in Randallstown, Maryland. And I will consider this a continuation to our wonderful day that we have had. We had a wonderful morning service this morning. We had an even better baptism service down at the quarry, right? Or the reservoir. Thank you. Down at the reservoir. And I just love it how the Lord brings things together. You know, things just come together just beautifully, just wonderfully. But anyways, here we are back again in the house of the Lord to just be a little bit closer to Him. And we are allowing men and women of God to share the heart of the Lord with the saints these days, to share what the Holy Spirit has for the church, the body of Christ. And tonight we have a wonderful, humble, powerful man of God who will be sharing through the influence of the Holy Spirit the Word of God tonight. Amen? Amen. I would like for you to give a very warm welcome to our dear brother, Brother Egbert. Man of God.
Praise the Lord. Are you excited to be in the house of the Lord?
Yes.
Then let's start by worshiping the Lord. Thank Him for being in the house. As we are prepared to receive for Him. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You for today. Lord, we have come before Your presence. May Your Spirit, O Lord, touch each and every one of us today. Touch our hearts, O Lord, as we prepare to receive from You, that, Lord, You will be glorified today through the word that will be spoken. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Amen. Do you all have your Bibles? All right. So turn with me today to the book of Acts, chapter 3. And we'll start from verses 1. Acts chapter 3, verses 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood up and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Hallelujah. Amen. This is a very powerful story that happened in the book of Acts with Peter and John. And this was a time that Peter and the disciples had received the Holy Spirit. They had received power from on high, and it was one of the first miracles that was recorded in the Bible after the disciples received the Holy Spirit. They were going to the temple to pray, and all of a sudden they were confronted with a situation. Somebody was just looking at them, expecting to receive something from them, But Peter made a very bold statement and said, such as I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter could have just said, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. But he said, such as I have. Have you ever wondered what he meant by what when he said, such as I have? Have you? Okay, so today, the title for this message is Such As I Have. We'll be looking at what Peter meant when he said, such as I have. Hallelujah. All right, so what did Peter mean actually by saying, such as I have? And I'm sure probably the first thing that will come to your mind is what he had the Holy Spirit. But before we get to that, I think that we should look at the life of Peter, his walk with the Lord, and the things that came to him when he was with Jesus for him to say, such as I have. Hallelujah. All right, so one of the things that we know, which is very pronounced when it comes to Peter when he was with Jesus, was that he was the first one who said, you are the Christ, the Son of God, right? Okay. And that is what? Revelation. Okay? He had the revelation of who Jesus is as the Son of God. And we see this in John chapter 16, verses 17. John chapter 16, we say, Simon Peter answered and said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. Hallelujah. There is something about the revelation of who Jesus is that every believer must get to. There is something about the revelation of Jesus that brings transformation to the life of a person. Yes, we know that Jesus is what? The Son of God. We could have just said, oh, okay, Jesus is the Son of God. But beyond that, there is something transformational about who Jesus is. And this is a very critical part of our lives as believers. Everything that we do, our faith, yes, we know Jesus is the Son of God, but our revelation of him also fuels what? Our faith in the Word of God. Our revelation of who Jesus is, what he has done for us, the fact that Almighty God in himself has come and manifested himself in the flesh, is a mystery by itself. So if you have a revelation of who Jesus is, guess what? It changes the thing, your situation. Yes. It builds up your faith. Yes. Peter had this revelation. That was what he was walking in. So when the situation came and he said, such as I have, I give unto thee. His revelation was that what? Jesus or the power of God is able to do all things. I have the revelation that Jesus is who he say he is. I have the revelation that the power of God is true and it is powerful. Therefore, the situation in which you, a layman, you are sitting down there, it is powerful enough to change it. Hallelujah. This is what Peter was talking about when he mentioned what? The word of God was talking about when Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. And this is a very critical aspect because if it is just about Jesus being the Son of God, then why would Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 17, talk about what? Praying that what? For wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. They were already Christians. They knew who Jesus was. But there is an aspect of the revelation of Jesus Christ which is continuous and progressive. When you understand his ways, when you understand who he is, when you understand the way he responds to issue, it humbles you. It transforms you. It causes you to give up things that you don't want to give up or things that you struggle with. When you realize that he has done so much for you, when you realize that he had so much authority and power, when you realize that his word is so true that it transforms you through this revelation. And that is why Paul, in many of his books, prayed for the believers at that time to have what? A revelation of who Jesus is. Peter also did the same. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. It says, therefore, gird up your loins, get up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So if you have what? The revelation of Jesus Christ, grace comes upon you. The grace to stop what you don't want to do anymore, grace to give up old ways, grace to stand firm in the things of the Lord, that is what Peter had. Hallelujah. Are we together?
Yes.
This is what Peter meant when he said, such as I have. This is one of the things he meant. I have a revelation of something that you don't have, which is Jesus Christ, and it is this revelation that I impart unto you to transform your life and to give you your breakthrough.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The second thing that I want to touch on about Peter saying such as I have is what? It's faith. Hallelujah. Now, of course, faith, we all know so much about faith. And Peter of all, when it comes to the believers, if you look at his story, he was the only one who actually had the faith to walk on the water with Jesus. Hallelujah. He had the faith to walk on the water with Jesus. He was a man of faith. Yes, he may have stumbled in his other ways, but he was definitely a man of faith. And in Matthew chapter 14, verses 31, when Jesus Jesus was trying to save Peter when he was sinking, he says, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Peter had learned his lesson of faith, that if you are with Jesus and I hold onto his hand and I walk with him in my life, it doesn't matter what I'm walking on or what the situation is or what wind of life is blowing against my life, what Jesus is going to do in my life will prevail. Hallelujah. That is a man of faith. That is who Peter was when he said, such as I have. Are we together?
Yes.
If you have this kind of faith that Peter had, you are bold enough to confront issues. Many a times when things get rocky, our faith is shaking. It shouldn't be. Hallelujah. It shouldn't be. We must stand on the word of God and know who we are working with, because of Christ and what the word of God says concerning our lives and in our situation, and most importantly, our faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That is what Peter said. That is who he is. He had revelation who Jesus was. He had faith to do the things that Jesus did. Hallelujah. The third thing that I want to talk about with the life of Peter was he knew how to walk in authority. He knew how to walk in authority. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 1, when Jesus was sending out his apostles, he said what? He gave them authority. Authority over unclean spirits, authority to heal the sick, authority to cast out devils, and all the other things. Hallelujah. But in verse 7, it says, but as you go preaching, saying, the kingdom of God, heaven is at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Preach the word first. That is the authority that Peter had. That power had been given to him. So he had every reason to just say, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. But he says, such as I have, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Such as I have, I give unto thee. That is what he meant. That is something that I believe that every believer or child of God, if we want to walk in the authority or divine calling that God has given us, we must learn to understand who we are in Christ through the revelation, that revelation will build our faith, and then we will walk in what? Authority. We will understand the authority. We get up and say, oh, I have power, there is power, there is power. We do not, a lot of believers or a lot of people do not understand the extent of the power that is in the name of Jesus, or the extent of the power that God has given us through Jesus Christ. This is what Peter was talking about. Hallelujah. And finally, one of the things that he actually, the last thing that he said was, he had the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 1, verses 8. It says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. The power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure we already know so much about the power of the Holy Spirit. It is this power that comes upon you as a believer that causes transformations, that causes miracles, that causes situations that are impossible to be broken. Things change and happen because of what? The power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
When the man saw them at the gate of Beautiful, he was walking with them. When he saw them walking, the power of the Holy, Peter had already received the power of the Holy Spirit. The hand of God was working with him. But yet still, Peter had to what? Say in the name of Jesus, invoke the power of the Holy Spirit. The fact that you are a believer and the Holy Spirit is in your life does not necessarily mean that everything is going to be smooth. You have to learn how to use the power that is in the name of Jesus. You have to learn how to stand your ground and rise up and declare and speak to situations to turn around and break things over your life as Peter did. In that moment, Peter didn't go and say, oh, I'm going to pray about it. The world is expecting, as this man was, expecting that the sons of God will manifest the authority that has been given to us, that our place in the body of Christ will be established. We will become the salt of the earth, that when people see us, they will glorify God in heaven. Hallelujah. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. It is the same power when it came upon Elijah. He was able to what? Run faster than chariots. The power of the Holy Spirit. If you look in, but let's go back to Acts chapter 1, verses 8. It says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. Yes, the Holy Spirit is the comforter. The Holy Spirit is our guardian. He's our friend and all that. But the power of the Holy Spirit comes purposefully for you to be witnesses to me, being Jesus. You have to be a witness. The power will not come for you to sit in your room, to watch Netflix and whatever. The power is for you to become a witness. Hallelujah. And it is the same power that overshadowed Mary. That, you know, when it overshadowed Mary, Mary was like, how can it be? When the angel appeared, he said, you shall conceive and give birth to a child and all that. And he said, how can it be? And the Bible says what? The angel said, the power of the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. It is something extraordinary. When the power overshadows you, what you were not able to do before, you are able to do.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
What you were not able to even think or fathom that you could do, he empowers you. He gives you the strength. He gives you that extraordinary ability to do what you need to do. Guess what? To glorify God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
That is the Holy Spirit. With Samson, the same thing. The power came upon him. The power of the Holy Spirit that was upon his life. He was able to kill 1,000 Philistines with the jaw of a bone. 1,000. And that is probably like modern day superhero movie. 1,000. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. By the time you get to probably 100 or 200, you're already tired. 1,000. That is the power that we are dealing with. That same power resides in us today. It didn't just start and end with the apostles, as some people preach. It is here today. It is in you. It is in me. And guess what? The ultimate power, the ultimate reason of this power in our lives is to what? Is to bring, is to make, is to witness, is for us to become witnesses of Jesus. Hallelujah. It is not to show off. Some people, you know, or some believers, when they become gifted in certain things, they begin to, show off. It is about, it's not about, oh, I can give you this word. Oh, I can, you know, lay my hands. It is not about you. It is never about anybody. It is not ever about the thousand-seater auditorium pastor. It is not the, it's not about the biggest apostle in the mega church. It is all to what? Glorify God. This is what Peter had. Hallelujah. The power of the Holy Spirit. He knew how to walk in the authority that is in the name of Jesus. He knew how to walk in faith. He had what? Revelation. If we as believers or children of God, if we put all these things together, then when we come across any situation that demands or expects us to deliver results, we can stand boldly and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Hallelujah. Now, in Acts chapter 8, one of the primary things that the Holy, as we gathered, that one of the primary things that the Holy Spirit came to do was to give us power. The believers had all the word that they needed for 3 years. I'm sorry, the apostles, for 3 years with Jesus. They knew the word. They knew the ways of Jesus. But yet they had to wait for this power. It is critical. You cannot do anything without the power of the Holy Spirit. Not just in terms of, should I say, with the church or ministry or anything like that, but even in your own personal life as a child of God. You cannot live right without the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have to just what? Learn to depend on Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, since the Holy Spirit is to empower us to be witnesses of Jesus Christ, what does it mean to be a witness? Why is it so important to be a witness of Jesus Christ? Now, first of all, who is even a witness? If we say somebody is a witness, most of the time, a witness is somebody who comes in to add credibility to a story. Right? In the court of law, somebody will come and make an attestation or give some kind of evidence to say that whatever story that you are saying is true. Or if there's an issue of contention, you can, where there is to be proof that what you are saying is true, witnesses are invited. So if we are children of God and we have been mandated through the word of God to be witnesses of Jesus, what does it mean? It means that we are supposed to be witnesses. Whatever we do as a witness, as a child of God, must prove the existence and the story of Jesus Christ. Whatever we do must prove that Jesus is real. If you say you are a believer, your life must be a witness of who Jesus is. Yes. When people look at you, they should not see you, they should see Jesus Christ. Therefore, when you understand these things and you have the revelation of who Jesus is, you have the faith, you have the authority, you have the power of the Holy Spirit, you don't need to say even too much when you approach somebody to minister to them or evangelize. They will see it for themselves. Your lifestyle and everything about you will what? Glorify God and be a witness. When they see you, they don't see John or Luke or Mark or whatever your name is. They see Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. They see Jesus Christ in you because of what is going on in your life, because of the life, the victory that they are seeing, because they see that there is something special about your life and the way you move and the way you do things that brings glory to God.
Hallelujah.
The whole essence of all this is what? To bring glory to God. In Acts chapter 3, verses 8, it says, So he, leaping up, stood up and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Peter understood these things. His life in that moment became a witness or a testament of who Jesus is. And therefore, the Holy Spirit, what? Validated what he's saying. Because in that moment, he was being a true witness of who Jesus is. And therefore, when the power of God touched this man, guess what? He was praising God. Anybody that is truly touched by the power of God, the first thing that happens is what? They give glory to God. They will praise God. They give unexplained worship. They just give their lives to God because of what? The power that has touched them in that moment. Are we together?
Yes.
Why is a witness even so important? Why wouldn't people just believe? All right, I'll give you an example. I know that we are in a digital age and a lot of people buy things online. Now, if you're buying something online for the first time and you're not used to it, what are the things you do? You go and check what? Reviews. Right? You are basing your decision based on what? The witnesses of other people. Hallelujah. If it's a 5-star review, guess what? You go right on and buy it. If it's a 1-star review, all right? So if you are a witness, all right? Let me give you one more example. Since Pastor Ted likes vehicles so much, let me give an example. Of Tesla Motors. I'm sure we all know Tesla. Tesla for so many years, and I don't know up to now, but for so many years from when the company started, they never invested in advertisements because they believed that their cars were so good and so exceptional that if you experience it, what you will tell somebody else about it. They believed in the power of a personal witness than branding and advertising and all that. Hallelujah. That is the power of a witness. So if I say I'm a believer, if I say Jesus is Lord, if I say Jesus is a provider, there is something about my life that should prove that Jesus is a provider. If I say he's a healer, there is something that I should be able to do to prove,
hallelujah,
that Jesus is a provider. If I say he's a healer, my life must be a testimony that he's a healer. Even in my own life, in the life of the people around me, in everything, like wherever, it must be there. When people see that, when people look at you in expectation, like the man at the gate of the lame man at the beautiful gate, guess what? They see the power of God. This man started jumping and praising God without Peter saying, "Oh, give your life to Jesus." No, he already followed them to the temple. He had been touched. Peter was a witness. We must be witnesses for Christ. Everything that we do, everything about our life, if you say you are a believer, we must be in a position to validate it. Other than that, it is just mere talk. I'm sorry to say. So people will look at you. You cannot validate anything about your faith and that you expect them to follow you to church. It becomes ceremonial. It becomes something religious. It becomes something routine. Unfortunately, that is what we see a lot these days in so many places within the body of Christ. We are not able to validate the claims that we are making of our faith. Why? We are thinking about ourselves. I am a more powerful man of God. I'm receiving the Holy Spirit. I want the power of the Holy Spirit so I can preach better than this pastor of this congregation or this party. Or whoever. Jesus is not the focus. We are not being the witness. When Jesus is glorified in our lives, guess what? We are also lifted. Amen. Hallelujah. Paul in Galatians chapter 1, verses 24, he said, and they glorified God in me. Yes. His life had become so exceptional that when they looked at Paul, they looked at the transformation of somebody who was persecuting the church, somebody who was going after believers, and now he's not just a believer who was staying in his room, worshiping and praying quietly. He is going around doing signs and wonders, proclaiming the gospel, and converting people and leading many to Christ. When they looked at that, they didn't even see Paul at that time. They glorified God. They were seeing God. They know that this one is not possible but for the hand of God. Being a witness. Hallelujah. That is what it means. They glorified God in me. In that moment when Paul was saying that the church of Galatians were not seeing who Paul was as an ordinary person. They were just seeing the power of God. It was like, no, this Paul guy, no, it's not Paul, it is God. When I look at you, I don't want to say, hey, Mary, hey, John. No. Are you a believer? I must see Jesus. Yes. I must see Jesus in you. Hallelujah. That is what it means. So when you come to the realization of all these things, that is when you can say that, oh, such as I have. In that moment, the man was probably looking at Peter and John like ordinary people. But such as I have. He didn't even introduce himself. I give unto thee in the name of Jesus. He reached out. He was able to speak to the situation. Even when that man, after the word came, did not believe, guess what? Because Peter had an experience of faith when he was falling, he was sinking, and Jesus stretched out. He also was stretched out his arm. His faith was strong enough to change the situation. The man didn't just get up. He reached out and his hand touched him and he pulled him up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is what we must be. Hallelujah. Now, you might say, oh, I'm a believer. I am saved. All things are good with me. But there is also an aspect of being a Christian that is not based on you being saved, but is based on, function. You are the salt of the earth. You are ambassadors. Hallelujah. There is a mandate that requires us as children of God to manifest the power of God in our lives. This can only happen through what we have discussed as Peter, for us what Peter did. Revelation of the word of God, faith, learning to walk in authority, and what? The power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So, this is what Peter meant when he said, such as I have, I give unto thee. So my question to you is, what do you have? You cannot give what you do not have. Hallelujah. If somebody says, I'll give you whatever, it is based on their resources or whatever their ability, whatever they are able to do in that moment to help you or resolve whatever they want to give to you. But guess what? Our God is not even limited. Somebody's resources may be limited. Somebody might say, oh, I'll meet you at 10 o'clock. Not that the person is a bad person, but constraints. And the person is not able to meet that demand or promise. And we think it's the person. But our God is unlimited. He is not dependent on anything. He is not dependent on anyone. Therefore, when he says, I will do this, I will do that, faithful and truth is he. Amen. All right? He is faithful. He is truthful. His word is true. That is what it means. Therefore, if we say we are Christians and we are children of God and we have what? Such as I have. You have who is unlimited, whose resources does not diminish in any way, and you have the one whose power is limitless and available to you. Hallelujah. That is what we mean. When we understand these principles, we become effective witnesses to Christ. We are able to stand firm in the word of God and dominate our territories and be an impact to the environment as God wants us to be. Hallelujah. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word that has come today. Lord, may you be glorified, O Lord, in our lives. We pray that, Lord, may your spirit, O Lord, give us wisdom and understanding, that, Lord, we will grow, O Lord, to be effective witnesses, to give you all the glory. May our lives, O Lord, bear the fruit that you have called us to bear, that all glory may be given unto you in every aspect of our lives, Lord. Where we are not able to, Lord, may your spirit, O Lord, strengthen us, O Lord. Broaden our minds, O Lord, that, Lord, we will have a full revelation, a better revelation day by day of who Jesus is, that our faith in him, O Lord, will grow, that our faith in your word, O Lord, will be strengthened in the name of Jesus, and Lord, we will learn to walk in the authority that you have given to us in Christ Jesus. Father, may your spirit, O Lord, empower us, O Lord, to be effective witnesses, Lord, to bear the fruits, O Lord, that you have called us to bear as your children. Lord, we thank you. We bless your name. In Jesus' name, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, brother, for that message. I love it when questions that we have, the answers are presented to us. Wonderful message. Praise the Lord. Let us continue to praise the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Let us give thanks to the Lord for this offering. Father God, we bless you for this offering, for the generosity of your people, giving back to you what you have already given to us. And Lord, you give us so much through your word. May we do as we were instructed tonight, to take what you have given us and put it to work for you, so that people will see you when they see us. That is what we want. It's not about us, Lord. It's all about you. And this offering is all about you as well, Lord. So we bless you for this offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.